Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's the winner. That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two to the corner. Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louisan!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We are pumped up today. What a guest list. Travis Ford in studio 1030 and the new Missouri Valley Conference Hall of Famer Bill Miller, one of my all-time favorites, at 11 o'clock. Martin, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing great. I was looking up Bill Miller's career numbers, etc., and then I noticed he happens to have the best birthday in the world.
Really?
March 17th. Bill Miller and I will be knocking down green beers next year. St. Patty's Day birthday.
Are we actually close in the number too? Or?
He's a little younger than me.
Okay.
I think he's probably 47, 48-ish.
I'm a March 14th.
You are? March Pisces, my man?
Yeah, of course.
Look at that.
Well, you're March 28th?
No, March 17th.
March
St.
17th.
Patrick's
okay.
Day.
Nice.
March 17th, me and Bill Miller.
I didn't know you were into the astrology game, Martin.
Not really.
Only when it works in your favor.
Correct. You can interpret those any way you want.
Just like fortune cookies, you go, oh, man, this might happen.
Something really pleasant will be coming your way, and you're thinking lottery, promotion, and then Frank walks in with croissants, so that fits. That works.
All right. Yeah.
I almost went to Nathaniel Reed today because you plugged it yesterday and then told us how good it was, and we all... we're over here like Tiny Tim. Do you have any crumbs?
What's funny is I'm kind of walking in here with just a flattened oatmeal cream pie.
Little Debbie.
I think we can make that a little better for you today.
All right, but Frank has a better story. He didn't merely go and pick these up for us.
Yeah, well, I was telling Monique how you guys were razzing me. She goes, you know what? I make really great croissants. I'll make them tomorrow morning.
Ooh, so, what else can we razz Frank about to get more homemade goods?
I bet
can't
I can make
better eyes with a darn.
Yeah, I can make better steaks than Ruth's Chris. Yeah, that's the way
they
to do
look,
it.
Very we good. Needed a picture before we just devour them because they look gourmet.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless Iggy and the food he brings in. It doesn't always look like it rolled out of a professional bakery. And love you, Iggy. But these are, what do we have in here? Almond, chocolate?
The one's almond and one is chocolate.
Wow.
And I will say this.
My
the one in Nathaniel Reed was just so freaking thick that I didn't eat anything like until what you're about to hear a little bit later in the monologue. But it was... they are so good. But I think Monique does a fine job. So.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And I almost stopped. We would have had an overload here. And then Travis Ford's going to think, I think these guys have a green room. They've got food in back. Hey, shout out to my godson, Joe Gilmore, and his buddies driving down to Mizzou. U-High graduate, getting ready for his first year at MIZ. And if those guys are listening for us, along with Howard Richards, I've got the Tigers going 12-0 this year. Frank's a hater at 9-3.
Yeah.
So in case I need student tickets from Joe, remember,
very
I'm
nice.
The one who said 12-0.
All right, our opening monologue brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Let's begin with lap one. I think it's not just a pitcher in a groove. I think it's quite possibly a superstar emerging. He has always looked the part. He's playing the role. And last night, it's now 7 starts, 45 innings, 56 Ks, just 4 earned runs, 23 consecutive scoreless innings. I mean, this is insane. He was wheeling and dealing in Kansas City, Jack Flaherty.
Dozier looks at a strike on the inside corner and the first strikeout for Flaherty. He struck him out on the inside corner, 96 from Flaherty. Struck him out looking, catches the corner.
It's been Jack, you know, that's who he's been. He's been a frontline elite guy, and conviction with his fastball, location with his fastball, nice short slider, sprinkled in a couple of really dirty changeups, and curveball as well. So just outstanding pitching and made pitches when he had to, especially in the seventh.
So maybe that wild card game against Max Scherzer is who's just getting healthy, is not as daunting as we thought it would be with Big Jack.
Yeah, it's a little more exciting right now. I haven't given up on the division, in case Bill's listening. But that one-game wild card, now you've got the guy you've been waiting. You've been saying all year, somebody's got to emerge. You've got to have a staff ace. If you had, how many times this year have we said, boy, I think I'd go with Ponce de Leon, or maybe I'll go with Hudson.
Ponce was one. That's two. And then
I think
we
Hudson
had
for a second.
Michaelis for that cup of coffee when he had
like Wayno for a hot minute when it was at home.
When it was
in the first wild card, you were willing to entertain
now,
that thought.
There's no question Jack Flaherty's that guy. And I apologize. I think I had my line last night was 6 innings, 3 runs. I just thought he was due.
You're a pessimist.
Just thought he was due. This is from the wet blanket. I thought he was due to not have a great game. Frank with 7 innings, 1 run.
Yeah, I'm
turns out you were negative.
Yeah.
This is Tudor-esque, Hershiser-esque in terms of the streak that he's on. And now when you look at, we were saying, when you go to a game and you find out somebody's out of the lineup, there's nobody on the team that you're really bummed. I think now as a fan, whether it's on TV or at Busch, you're wanting to know, when does Flaherty pitch again?
Lap two. So did anybody in the Cardinal front office, or Cardinal Nation for that matter, think that we would be saying, this guy got a hit in the third, and then this guy scored?
And Edman picks up a base hit in the right. Dozier, his throw to the plate offline. Edman on his way to second as the run scores. That's Lane Thomas, and the Cardinals have a 2-0 lead.
How about that? Tommy Edman and Lane Thomas, and you can argue that almost every next game is the next most important game of the season because we're getting closer and closer to the finish. They were so obscure that I remember in spring training that Martin actually walked by these two guys because they were looking to be interviewed. And Martin said, I don't cover the Memphis Redbirds. I only cover the Cardinals. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that because I wasn't there. But it is a good barometer. When a guy comes up during the season and is pretty good, you say to yourself, did we talk to him at spring training?
Yeah.
Because you wonder back, were they even on the radar? Because a lot of times the prospects, if they speak English, you'll grab them. You'll do a little clip on them. Hey, there's a name to remember. I'm guessing Tommy Edman did not get interviewed by any of the TV stations. Lane Thomas, probably not as well.
I mean, let's face it. A few years ago, the only reason you interviewed the backup catcher was because of his first name. You did an extensive one-on-one with Carson Kelly.
Carson Kelly. Oh, for sure.
I was wondering, why is he spending 27 minutes with Carson Kelly? But he's
so
a good talker.
When they named you, Carson, what did that name mean to you? This is our lead story tonight. I thought you meant all the backup catchers over the years who've always been the nicest guys, the best talkers.
All right, lap three. The lineup, no Randy or Rosarena. And even though they won a game, let's not forget, it was still another lame offensive performance like most of the season has been. It really was. 5 hits, 2 runs against a pitcher who had been horrendous. So now it's time for Randy or Rosarena. Please take your shot. Can your offense get worse? Not much worse. I mean, remember, these were the numbers heading into the night. 24th OPS, 25th slugging, 25th average, 25th in runs, 29th in hits. You scored 2 runs and had 5 hits against a bad pitcher. So I hope the skipper doesn't take this attitude, well, we won a game, let's stick with this lineup. No, you don't stick with that lineup. It's not a good lineup.
That's my question. They're all superstitious. Do you roll out the same lineup because you won? I don't think you can look at that performance offensively and say,
we're
staying.
You didn't win because of the lineup.
Correct.
You win because your stud is on the mound.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Flamethrower.
All right, but what's your gut? Knowing how managers are and baseball people are, there is a chance that they just roll it back out there, the same exact thing.
I think Rosarena's got to play.
I think he plays tonight.
Yes.
And I think it might even be, hey, Schulte, what do you think? The new kid? Let's see him. There may be a little nudge, perhaps.
So the guys you could take out would be Thomas, who actually got a hit coming off that incredible Sunday, and then Edman, who continues to hit. So Carpenter got a hit. Who comes out? Dexter Fowler?
And Carp's got the great numbers in Kansas City. Otherwise, right now, I'm a fan of giving him a day off.
Yeah.
But
Fowler was 0-3.
I'm going to guess that Thomas sits in a Rosarena place. That's my guess. If I were making out the lineup, I'd sit Carpenter or Edman. To me, the decision is Carpenter or Edman. It was yesterday as well. My gut says Thomas will sit and they'll play a Rosarena.
How about the catching spot? You know, Yadi means so much defensively and working with young pitchers.
but you got a guy with some power there on the bench.
You don't want to ice Wieters completely.
No.
With the power he's giving you.
Probably give Yachty one more here. All right, lap four. So I realized that managerial jobs are really, really precious, and you make a whole lot of money, and there's a whole lot of perks. And it's rare you can go into an organization where you know everybody, you know, in the front office and have really good relationships with scouts and coaches. But I wonder if Mike Matheny sees a Royals team 34 games under 500 in a division with the surging Twins and the surging Indians and the explosive Twins and thinks, I don't know if this is a great move. Rick Horton believes Matheny to Kansas City is happening.
Yeah, my gut would be that you've got, well, and all the things are pointing in that direction. That's why we all think that. You've got an organization that loves Mike, and you've got a pitching coach that's essentially one of Mike's best friends in Cal Eldred. You've got a manager that Mike gets along with who's already said he's done at the end of the year. You've got an owner that Mike has spent a lot of time with. You've got him in a position where he's not tied to any one thing right now, but he's reviewing the whole organization. I mean, if he's not the manager, I'd be stunned.
The other team I'd look at in that division is the White Sox.
Yes.
Who are building. So you're probably, if you get rolling in the next couple of years, you're probably the fourth best team in the division. I know what you're saying, but I think to be in uniform, to be the guy again, after having done it for 6+ years, get that itch. And if nobody else is calling with an offer, it's not apples to apples. If they're kind of grooming you to be the guy, I still think you take it. But you're probably going to get your teeth kicked in for a while.
Yeah, and I think, too, that you could probably still keep the house in St. Charles County since it's not that far away and it's where you've been so long and it's your dream house. So you really don't have to uproot that much. So we'll find out.
In terms of family, you're across the state. It's not like you're going to Seattle to be the manager. So, yeah, in terms of your family. But I think these jobs are hard to come by. And if the Royals want you, and that's been the indication for over a year now, you got to take it. And then you just got to, and if they are terrible, you come in and day one, you pull the Jeff Luhnow in Houston and say, this is going to take a while. You just sort of let everyone know, don't expect anything for a while.
All right, lap five. High school football team started practice this week, and I know the DeSmet CBC announcement is the biggie. And let's face it, 10 years ago, you really felt great if you were a high school football player and you were on the charter game of the week with Randy Carricker and Demetrius Johnson and Demetrius's signature phrase, primetime players making primetime plays. I mean, you really thought it was cool, and it was. You know, the charter game of the week, you'd watch it all the time and tape it. But now, I got to tell you something. That's not the biggest game of the year. The biggest game of the year is going to be on opening weekend of the high school football season, when Lutheran North will host Trinity. First game of the season, and there could be about 25 Division I players in uniform. Spent some time with one of them yesterday, Antonio Doyle, the linebacker from Lutheran North. You know how Strick and Tuna always badmouth Barry Odom's recruiting and stuff? This guy's already been invited to the All-American game. He's a 6'3" linebacker that really runs. And Carl Reed said yesterday, he's going to be on the field next season for Mizzou, I promise you. What a football season coming up.
Well, Frank, you're actually using facts when you're talking about Mizzou. Strick and Tuna, they just kind of don't like the guy.
Exactly.
But Carl Reed has built something over there, too.
He's fun.
He's a lot of fun. He's fun to follow on Twitter. He's getting these kids into college. Not all of them are playing D1, but getting kids using football, which is what Darren Sunkett has said at East St. Louis. Just use football to get an education. And then Trinity, I mean, that's a power that emerged. We weren't talking about them 10 years ago. Maybe around 5 years ago we started to notice, but that's a great game one. And I love the charter game of the week.
Wasn't that great?
Who else? Wasn't there? Did you ever do any of the sidelines? No.
Well, I feel like a long time ago, but I was like in college.
I think Gardner told me he did a game or two years ago.
I remember Carricker, DJ. Of course, you had Chalk Talk, your midweek vehicle.
Oh, with Brian McKenna?
McKenna would be on. Twister would make, I think it was McGraw and Carricker. Demetrius, probably. Chalk Talk, must-see TV. Remember that?
It was. And anytime you'd appear, Brian would give you like a $25 gift certificate to some pizza place. It was a good gig. All right, lap six. I can't believe I'm going to make this statement, but I just don't think I'm going to eat for the rest of my life. The day started with an almond croissant from Nathaniel Reed, which was, you know, thicker than a Cadillac. And it ended with a steak wrapped in prosciutto and smothered in Romano and Parmesan cheese with a lobster bisque on the side and a bananas Foster for dessert. We did a food picks at Al's, the legendary restaurant on the riverfront, which began in 1925. Frank Sinatra, every time he came to St. Louis, would go there. The story is this. It's a quickie here. Is Sinatra orders the steak, and then he says to Al, he says, "I need a steak to go." He says, "Well, why do you need a steak to go?" He goes, "Well, I have, you know, I have my dog in the car, you know, with the limo driver. I guess he asked for two steaks." And he says, "Bring your dog in here. It's no problem." So this table in the back is called the Sinatra table, and right above it is a picture of Frank with this white dog.
Now, is it a small little dog, Frank?
It is.
One of your things?
You're right.
So it's old school. Does it feel old school when you walk in?
It does. And they don't want to do more than 25 people a night because they want to make sure that everybody remembers this unique dining experience. I'm looking at I said, show me some pictures of some people. Shows me a picture of John Forsyth from Dynasty, Jack and Stan. It was something else. And it's still great. So if you get a
chance.
It's
like Iggy's Rolodex.
Yeah.
And it's right... What, just a little to the north of, like, Lumiere?
Yep. Well, yeah. Right where that stadium was going
to
be built.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little north of LeClean's Landing. It's amazing how they've made it all these years. You know, still going. It's the daughters that run? Is that what it is?
It's Al's daughter and Al's son-in-law who runs it. The cook has been there 50 years. The busboy or the waiter has been there 35 years. And there's literally four employees there. It's wild.
And when you were there, daytime.
No, we were there at 6 o'clock.
You were at now. Okay. Yeah. Are they open during the day or just
no.
the evenings?
No. Oh, they don't open until 5:30, and they close at about 8. It's quick.
I bet they pour a mean martini.
Oh, I bet,
I bet it's an old-school pour, like a Manhattan.
And you would love the bar. It's beautiful. It's something else.
Al's steak. All right, so Frank just told us he's not eating again.
Yeah.
And then during this commercial
disgusting.
Break, those Monique croissants sitting out there.
Well, we'll see. All right, finally, the Chris Cuomo story. And, you know, first of all, let's set it up for the people who haven't watched The Godfather. Fredo turned on Michael, and then this is what Al Pacino, Michael Corleone, had to say to Fredo.
You're nothing to me now. You're not a brother. You're not a friend. I don't want to know you or what you do. I don't want to see you at the hotels. I don't want you near my house. When you see our mother, I want to know a day in advance so I won't be there. You understand?
And let me tell you, that little speech has been repeated about 100 times in our household, jokingly, to my brothers. You're not my brother. You're not my friend. So Chris Cuomo heard the word Fredo on the street, and this is how he reacted.
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk from the right called me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN.
Oh, you're much...
Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they used though? It as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little
you Italian?
I got a little
insult to your people. It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us.
Little strong.
Yeah.
Little strong. I think if somebody calls you Fredo, you laugh and keep going.
Exactly.
You don't need to say
it's a slight, but you don't pick a fight.
I'm an anchor at CNN. Good for you, Chris. He does seem to, and I don't know him at all, but he always seemed to be a little excited about who he was.
Yes.
You can just kind of feel like, I'm Chris Cuomo, CNN anchor. And then what does he say? I'm Chris Cuomo, CNN anchor. I mean, if somebody yells something rude to me on the streets, I don't turn and say, excuse me, I'm Martin Kilcoyne, Fox 2 News. I mean, would you really say?
What's the age,
they
too,
knew who he
where
was.
You just don't fight? I think it's got to be like 30.
Yeah.
Maybe even younger than that. It's just not a good idea, unless, like, your family was in jeopardy.
Unless you're Larry Merchant, because that's different. I respect Larry in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
If I was 30 years younger, I'd kick your ass. Now, that Cuomo, that's a bad look. I have not read how has it been handled. He's not, like, suspended or anything,
no,
right?
No, in fact, of all people, Sean Hannity defended him, because I guess Sean knows what it's like to be accosted in public.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Trump ripped him.
But.
CNN backed him.
What did, I mean... They called him Fredo, okay? And I'm sorry, I'm not Italian. I understand it's an aspersion. It's not the N-word.
I feel like there are worse slurs against Italians. Yeah.
And by the way, it's a fictional movie.
Some of which that Chris Gardner has called you, and you did not react in such a
way. I think he was just, and I don't know, were they trying to provoke him? Probably. But they were probably just messing with him a little bit. It's not, I mean, they didn't say anything about his kids or his wife. Come on.
And then also, there's been this Chris Cuomo video released of him working out. What's the medium? Not Twitter, but...
Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah, there's all these Instagram videos of him working out, being a tough guy and everything.
Oh, yeah, call him Fredo. Right. If he's doing that, make fun of him.
Can we talk to the person who called him Fredo and just say, what were the circumstances? Were you trying to make... I mean, they're rolling tape. Somebody was. So it may have been trying to provoke... Maybe they said, this guy's a hothead. Let's provoke him. That is definitely... Yeah. There's... You don't have to get too upset about it, but that is definitely an overreaction. I mean, I get called Randy and Kevin and Morton, and I should just start screaming back at people.
People forget your name.
Didn't he say
while yes. right in front of you?
Well, in Louis Sharp's defense, he didn't know me at all.
They just met.
we don't go way back.
Let's take a croissant break.
Yes.
First time that's ever been used in Sports Talk Radio. Travis Ford, 10:30. Bill Miller at 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.